Welcome back to another podcast with Rupe & Co. This section of the podcast, we read chapters 16 through 20. And to get us started, page 343, this was just after the fight between Golden Heist and PK. He says, "How's it, Janie Golden Heist? No hard feelings, okay? You won fair and square, man." And then later in the page, Maury came up to him saying, "Oh, what did the hairy back want? Your autograph? And do you think PK begins to build a bond between Africans and whites later in the story and get rid of that all that hatred between the two groups?"
Yeah, I think the fight will help kind of bring them together because, I mean, there were so many Africans there, and to see PK win the fight, they were all very excited, and it kind of seemed like that's what they were all almost hoping for.
Yeah, and since PK won the fight, he's like officially the Tadpole Angel, so he's like the chief of all the tribes, so I think that'll also help like bring them all together, and I think that'll go really far in the story.
I think you can see that PK's really learned a lot about the world through boxing. He's learned that like no race or type of person is any better than any other, because he's had mentors like Gil Piet, who is a black man. You can see that he just sees people as people, not as who they are.
Races.
Like,
For a moment in these chapters, it seemed that Doc was close to his last days. Did you think he was going to survive having his sickness and then pulling out and then have PK go to school sad without one of his major mentors?
I always kind of thought that he was going to pull through. I didn't think PK would be ready for his death yet. I think it's kind of like he was saying, he was just super scared. He's like, "Doc, you can't die. He's got to keep, he can't lose his other mentor because he's lost so many already, like Pete and Grandpa Choke at the beginning and everybody, Nanny.
Yeah, and like it was hard for PK, but I kind of saw it coming. His Doc is an old guy. Like, what was he, 87 or something?
Yeah,
he was. And even like in the Crystal Cave, Doc said something about him dying, and like PK said that he just wasn't ready.
Yeah, I think. I don't think PK would have been ready at that point in time, but I think he probably wouldn't ever really be ready to lose someone that you really care about.
Do you think Doc will live long enough to see PK become a famous boxer, or do you think he will pass away?
I think he'll probably pass away. I mean, he's old and he's sick. Like he hasn't really been as well and hasn't really been himself for a long while in the book. Though I don't know. I think he'll probably die in one of these coming chapters.
Yeah, and like the last time PK was home, Doc was like really weak, and it was hard for him to go through like the hills and stuff, and his life's just slowly dwindling away, so yeah, he's probably gonna die.
Yeah, and like when he went up to the cave, he was like totally out of breath once they were up there, and I mean, PK thought he might die while he was even just hiking to the cave, so.
And like they had to stop and rest like every
PK
had to like help him into the cave.
Yeah, he had to help him the whole way.
Throughout the chapters, it seems Maury and PK become better friends, and they become better knowing of each other. Do you think they'll continue to stay friends throughout their lives, like even after the boarding school?
I think if they can find a way to keep communication, I think they'll probably end up going to different places once they leave the boarding school, so it might be tough for them to communicate, but like the relationship that they have right now is really important to PK, and it's giving him the one thing that he kind of didn't have, which was the money.
Now PK is a friend like his own age, and I think Gideon, the boxer he fought like at that school, I think he's also going to become one of PK's friends, and I think like they're all going to be friends for at least the duration of high school, but then I think afterwards they're going to try to like get closer and like keep in touch with each other.
Yeah, like Barrett said, I think they are going to take very different paths in life, because Maury and PK, though they're like pretty similar, you can tell Maury's going to be more of a business type of person probably, and while PK probably pursues his boxing, which is going to take them pretty far apart probably. But I think if they keep in contact, I think they'd definitely keep being friends.
But I think that maybe, like that could very well happen, but I think Morey might go into boxing with PK and like try to make money off
like
of
as
it.
His manager.
Yeah, like as a
yeah.
like professionally.
Yeah.
I kind of like if he's doing
it. If he makes it, yeah. to be a professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you think PK and Morey were gonna get into trouble if, or do you think they were gonna win the rugby match and like get in a lot of trouble if they lost with all the money they were gonna lose?
I mean, I don't know. I thought they were. For sure, I thought they were gonna win. Like,
yeah.
They could.
They had
lost.
To win.
Yeah. It's just in that way they were gonna
yeah. Because if they lost, then there's PK couldn't have gotten those boxing lessons from Sally Goldman, and he couldn't mm-hmm. have pursued his boxing all that much further.
Couldn't
so
have taken that next step to his
yeah.
boxing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like PK said. I mean, he yeah. they wouldn't bet enough money to like go under, like have to owe people money, but they risked enough that it would have been a big problem.
Do you think at some point they'll try to push their business too far and end up losing some money?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I think usually they're
think,
pretty careful. Other
or do you
than
think
this rugby
they're, like,
match,
too smart?
I think they're.
Yeah.
I think they've been pretty careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think. I don't think they will, because Maury's always saying like, whenever he like tries to make money, he wants to know like all the facts and he doesn't leave it to chance. Like he tries to persuade it. In his favor, like
mm-hmm.
as much as he can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At one point, Maury kind of brought up that he should get out now because, you know,
get out while you're on top.
Yeah. Stay out while you're on top.
Yeah. Do you think that PK would have still been a determined boxer if he had lost that fight at the end of the chapters?
Yeah, I think he still would be. I think if anything, losing would probably make him
more
determined to
mm-hmm.
never have that happen to him again. Make sure that he won't lose as much as possible.
Yeah, and my coach always told me for wrestling, you want to not lose more than you want to win. So, like, I think him losing would give him, like, what it feels like to lose, and, like, he'll work harder so that never, so he doesn't lose again. So
yeah.
I think it might have actually been better for him. I mean,
yeah.
probably not.
I mean, I don't
like,
think it
would
have been
well, not
well,
better,
but he
especially
think,
not in
yeah.
that fight, but, like, mm-hmm. It wouldn't have been
just,
that bad.
Like he had already
yeah.
gotten out of
yeah.
the way, so there's nothing to lose now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
Kind of like I think PK's work ethic, he just could never give up. Even if he lost, he'd have to keep going and trying because he's committed to being a welterweight champion.
What do you guys think of the crystal cave between with Doc and PK?
Well, I thought it was cool enough to make a drawing about it.
Oh.
So,
all right.
We'll do that in a bit. That's the question for you. Settle.
Do you think, like, after Doc passes, do you think PK will just go up to the cave just to be reminded of Doc at all?
I don't know, because he said that he wouldn't want to go back to the cave without Doc. So I think if he can't go there with Doc, he probably won't go back there and go inside the cave.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, well, hello, fella.
Okay, we're kind of doing a podcast
yeah,
right now.
Yeah,
you want to talk in a bit?
But yeah, I think PK will probably bring Doc up to the cave so like he can die in there. I feel like that's just
one
right.
last time.
Yeah, one last time.
Just
one
to
last
see,
adventure.
Just
yeah.
to see him so happy before
yeah.
he dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I made the connection between, with Mango, how he was, like, manipulating some of the facts about the war, and then what Mrs. Bornstein was saying, that they only had, like, 200, like, the French only had, like, 200 casualties or whatever, and I related this to, like, kind of fake news of today, because, like, even back in the day, there was still this kind of fake news, and one article I read said that over 50% of people today still distrust the news media, but it also claims that this has been started since like back in the 50s. Do you think like PK's does a good job of like deciphering what he really like thinks is real information versus fake information, and like from his nanny and from like his mom getting like these different religion and all this different stuff? Do you think he does a good job deciphering like what he wants to really be and kind of makes it his own?
I think so. I think he kind of takes everything into account, because when they were having that argument with their teacher, they brought up like several different books that they all read and like all about like the same events, and he just like kind of compared and contrasted them, which I think
mm-hmm.
shows that he just kind of looks at everything, like the whole picture, as much
yeah.
as possible.
Yeah, and Doc and like Ms. Boxwell, like they taught PK to like be smart, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or like they taught him to be able to think for himself and to realize what's right and what's not right. And I think that he just trusts, like, Ms. Bornstein more than his teacher. And, like, I think that's the main reason that he trusted her opinion.
PK's been around a lot of different groups of people, and I feel like that could also help him because he's not just thinking from one point of view, he's thinking from multiple. I feel like that could help decipher false information from the actual facts in his life.
Yeah, he said that a doc always, like, told him to question everything that he heard and try to find, like, the real answer. So.
Yeah, I mean, I pulled a quote that PK said was, "The power of one was the courage to remain separate, to think through the truth, and to not be beguiled by convention or the plausible arguments of those who expect to maintain power, whatever the cost." So I think PK knows that he's got to kind of make his own thoughts and do it on his own versus just believe what anyone else would actually tell him. So,
yeah, share your art.
Oh, my art, okay. So the part that I drew is on page 393. "Holy Molinsky, the torch showed a huge chamber from the ceiling and the floor of which grew stalactites and stalagmites. The roof of the cave must have been at least 40 feet high, and the snowy white calcareous structures fallen from it, some of which had reached the ground, looked like an illustration from a fairy tale. Pools of water still on parts of the cave floor mirrored the grotesque shapes, created an enchanted world that appeared to be carved in crystal." And, like, I just thought it was, like, good imagery, and the cave, I think, plays, like, an important role in the story, so I drew that.
I was surprised at what the cave looked like when they were describing it. I didn't expect something that big or, like, that grand to be hidden in there. He said it must have been, like, at least 40 feet tall, which shocked me, because that's massive.
It's
crazy.
And, like, with all the crystals in it too, like, just for a random cave.
I thought this. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, they said it must have taken, like, hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah,
to
I think said, like, 300,000 years or something.
Doc said it was the first one that, like, or this was the first time it had been seen, and I feel like it was Doc's happiest moment in his life almost. And I feel like, just if Doc does happen to pass away, like, it could be a remembrance of Doc if he does overcome his sadness and go up there to be reminded. But it's just amazing how many, or how happy it made Doc that all of these things in his life led up to this.
Yeah, I mean, Doc's always, like, exploring and looking at all the different wildlife and, like, the cactus, obviously. And I think to find something as cool as his cave is pretty cool.
And he really didn't want to leave, too. Like, PK was pushing him for a while to get him to get out of the cave because he needed to get back. But he just wanted to stay for as long as possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, there's no way Doc could just leave there without exploring it. Like, in Minecraft, if you find a cave, you gotta explore But yeah, Doc had to have been just, like, losing his mind over this cave.
Yeah.
That's so cool for him.
I would have been, too, honestly.
Yeah.
That would have been crazy.
Cool. Yep.
So I picked three quotes out from the book. Well, pretty close to each other. My first quote is on page 329. It's, "This time I was determined to enter the school environment on my own terms. There wasn't too much I was frightened of, and I was fairly confident that I could compete intellectually. It was time to remove my camouflage. All my life I let others provide for me, and while I loved the people who had nurtured and built me intellectually, I felt that emotionally it was time to look after myself." I thought that this was, like, an important and, like, big quote, because you can see that this is PK finally, like, becoming himself and finally shedding his protective skin and deciding to show who he really is to the world, not try to hold anything back. So I think that was pretty big, important part, at least.
I feel like it's one of his biggest moments for himself to truly find, like, he doesn't need to have this camouflage to have happiness in his life and to do the things he wants to do at boarding school.
Yeah, I think that's kind of something he's been looking to try and find throughout his entire life. Like, Doc's told him and all of his mentors have told him that he's got to eventually lose his camouflage and, like, just make it himself and be himself, and then things will work out for him.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good part of his character development, because he's finally, like, sharing his gifts with the world and finally, like, coming out of his shell and, like, not using his camouflage anymore.
And then my second quote is only two pages away on 331. It's While I had all the physical and intellectual equipment needed to succeed within the system, I lacked one thing, money. The only way I could succeed without money was by being a loner. Friendship with this particular tribe of Christian gentlemen required resources. You were expected to pay your own way. And I thought this was like a big quote, because it honestly kind of foreshadows a lot in the rest of the book with PK's money troubles, and you see that like he struggles a lot with money, and I think this shows like this is the only really thing that separated him from like the rest of the people in that school, was the fact that he was much poorer than anyone else. And he said later that he didn't want anyone else feeling bad for him or sorry for him, because they were poor and his parents could barely afford to even get him to come to the school and afford the clothes for it.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of ironic that he's like saying he doesn't have money, and then later in the story he's betting and making a ton of money with
yeah.
Maury.
Yeah.
He's becoming rich at just like 15 years old. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of what forms that relationship with Maury and helps them to become good friends. And basically, PK skilled boxing basically ends up being a source of income for both of them that makes them a lot of money.
Yeah,
I think it's also really ironic, like Aiden said, just he's probably like the poorest kid in the school, and he becomes best friends with like arguably the richest kid in the school, mm-hmm. and then they like make a bunch of money together.
Were you guys expecting them to like make a bunch of money like that? Would you expect?
No. I was expecting them to like maybe start out slow. Earn a couple bucks here and there for like their cream buns or whatever they wanted them.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect them to make like 600 pounds or like 500 pounds.
They just jumped right in.
They jumped right into it.
Let's go for the big money.
Yeah.
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 Right. And then my next quote, my last quote, is on page, where is it? 357. It is, I was seldom concerned with winning a particular fight. Instead, I was cultivating the habit of winning. Winning is a state of mind that embraces everything you do. So I found that I won in other things as well. I think this shows like a lot about PK's character. Mm-hmm. He refuses to lose, he refuses to back down, and really anything he does, he gives everything he has to whatever he's doing at the time and tries to succeed in all of the tasks that he has. So I think when he says winning is a state of mind that embraces everything you do, I found that's very true to PK's character.
Yeah. I feel like early in the story, he was showing little bits of it, but like as he's grown, as he's gotten more mentors, I feel like he's really embraced it, and like he's a smart kid. Even from a young age, he knew that like he had to be great, and that he knew he had to work hard for what he had to get, what he wanted in his life.
Yeah, I mean, I think applying winning to everywhere in your life is something that he's done very well, and that you need to be able to do if you want to ultimately be the best. And for him, he wants to be the welterweight champion, he's got to continue to win in everything he does and work his hardest. I think this will help him later in life if he ends up not boxing or doing something else. As in the workforce, he'd be an incredibly hard worker.
Mm. Yeah, and I think it's really inspiring because most people don't give 100% in anything they do. And PK puts 100% into everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, whether it's like boxing, his schoolwork, or just straight up taking notes. So I think that's like really inspiring to me.
Do you guys think that he'll keep winning? Do you think that he might maybe like fall into a slump later in the book? Do you think that his character would just stop him from doing anything like that?
I feel like at some point in the book, he might have a little trouble, but I feel like in the end, he'll overcome and like he'll find his little windows where he has to hit in the boxing matches. And I feel like he'll just like execute everything he needs to.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's too good with, like, his patience and his, like, in the boxing ring. Like, he never becomes a fighter, he's always a boxer. And I think as long as he sticks to that, he'll be fine. And that he'll continue to keep winning through the entirety of the book.
Yeah, and I think, like, it would be, like, not like his character at all to let himself lose. Like, he's so determined to keep winning that he'll just keep winning.
And just become the welterweight champion of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everyone's bound to lose at some point, like eventually, but PK will probably prolong that point for longer.
I don't think it's
going to be a while for
most anytime
soon.
Be
able to.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the Sinjin's people? The six candidates, or the 15 candidates, but only six were chosen?
Yeah.
It surprised me at first when PK was like the last one chosen.
Yeah.
Because he's like the top of the class. He's like extremely athletic.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting him to be the top first, but then I guess when Maury explained that it was like teach him a lesson, I was like, that makes sense. Like, I guess.
Did you expect Maury to be first out of everyone?
I did not.
I kind of thought Maury was going to pull some stuff and make himself.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's
going to try to be first one.
There's
to
no
get
way
it.
Maury wasn't going to be out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, what do the Sinjin's people, like, actually do?
I think it's just
kind of almost they like an
honor.
More work.
Roll call or whatever.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go to that. So, I think that's
a bonus.
Yeah.
Or is it kind of more of, like, just, like, oh, you're, like, really good, like, you deserve
yeah.
to be on.
I think it's just like trying to further his education or those for those six people. I don't know. I think that's just mostly it.
Yeah.
I mean, PK thought of it as a big deal, and I got a quote here that says, "I felt weak in the legs, and it took all my strength of will to not start crying on the spot. I'd made it. I was the sixth part of Sinjin's people." So obviously to PK, it was a really big deal.
Yeah.
And probably to the rest of the school,
yeah.
It's like a huge deal to
honor.
Be chosen for that.
Yeah, I think for anyone, it'd be, like, really good.
Yeah.
Not just for PK.
Sinjin brings up, like, or his mentor brings up, like, boxing might be getting in the way of a score. Do you think that's true? And do you think it'll become a problem for him?
I don't think so. I think he's done pretty well so far managing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's still top of the class while also being, like, the best
rugby
boxer
player.
For his, like, weight class in South
yeah.
Africa. So.
Yeah. I don't think he'll ever get in the way of his schoolwork, but PK even said, like, he puts boxing first. So if it ever comes to it, he's going to choose boxing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's so intellectually, like, talented that he doesn't need to put as much effort into it as some people.
Yeah.
But he still, I think, will continue to choose to give his best because that's just kind of his personality.
And I think with that, we will end the podcast. We'll see you next week with chapters 21 to...
The end of the book.
Yep.
All right. Woo-hoo.